Hi, I'm Tiffany. Welcome to our podcast. As promised, we are going to be having a mental health specialist who is going to be talking to us about mental health as designers. So, Wanja, tell us more about yourself.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. My name is Phyllis Wanja, as she has just said, and I am an artist. I'm the founder of Afyakil Organization, an organization that uses art, cartoons, this pencil art to educate more on mental health. And I am a mental advocate.
Not a specialist, but to us, yes. You are a specialist.
Because I work with doctors who not only offer their services at Afyakil, but I'm also very passionate about mental health, and I'm very happy to share views on the many things that I've come across today.
Nice. So that's a good intro. You have done it justice. If it were me, I'd actually not do it enough justice, so thanks. As an artist, could you tell us, like, what's the day-to-day routine of what you do with Afyakil? Like, what are some of the things you draw and all that stuff? You draw, right?
Yes, I do.
And your drawings are really nice, by the way.
Thank you. So for me, I normally do pencil art, pencil and charcoal art. That's the kind of art I do for my personal, like, I really want to have something that I can sell.
Okay.
But at Afyakil, I normally draw cartoons so that I can be able to pass messages on mental health. So how it goes by is just, you look at the content that you really want to share at the organization or also on social media.
Okay.
And see how you can come up with a piece of art that resonates with the content itself. So that's how I'm able to work with art in the organization.
Cool. And you mentioned that you're also an advocate. So how did you come about, you know, how did you decide that, wow, I want to be a mental health advocate? What got you into this business?
Two reasons. The first one, Being a human being, you become very curious about so many things about life. So you have questions on why do these things happen? Why am I not at peace? What is peace? What is happiness?
Yeah.
These questions like, am I really doing the right thing? What's my purpose? You know. So for me, I had these questions and I still have them till now. And it actually brought me to a point where I realized that self-awareness is very important. And self-awareness comes into place when you actually start thinking about your mental health, by the way, because that's when you engage your whole being. That's how I see things. For me, the moment I started focusing on my mental health is when I realized that it's also part of self-awareness, because we focus a lot on physical health and other issues, but really not on our mental health. So for me, that's how I actually focused. I started from me getting in like that, when mental health happens to be something so good for me, from my perspective. And the second reason is, after doing all that, you come to realize that there's so many things that, there's so many people who are going through so much pain. And you can do something about it. You know, you're seeing someone suffering and you're like, I think I can do something about it, because I've now gone through that process of really understanding where I am right now. And we can come up with something to actually help more people get to that space as well. So those are the two reasons. And it's actually not nice to see people suffering or going through a pain, or rather going through a discomfort, and there's something you can do about it. So I'm really happy that so much has been done, and working with a team has made everything really work out. So I'm just grateful, because it's a step by step. Yes, God has really been grateful, has really been, you know, merciful and just helping us just maneuver through this. Yes.
And it's really good that you're being driven not because you're in for the money, because right now I'm sure this thing of mental health, people talking about it, it's good, but at the same time, the warning bells. Do you get those warning bells that people are not being genuine about this mental health and promoting mental health to some point? Or do you think everyone is in it for the same reasons you are?
Let's say it's just like any other kind of career, or rather any other kind of industry. People have their own intentions, and I think consequences follow people as far as intentions are concerned. So for me, yes, there are so many people out here who have, let me just say, people have their own intentions, and yes, it happens not only here but everywhere. You'll even find people selling clothes that are not actually really good, and they still sell. So it's something that is there, because we're in the world. We're actually in a space where every human being wants something. So it's just part of life. But what I can say is we all need to get to a space where we really understand that depression and all the other mental illnesses are actually things that are causing so much pain to human beings. And we also need to get to a point where we really are able to help those who are going through the same, so that we cannot take advantage of it, because anyone can actually just be there. It's them who are going through it. No, it's all of us. It's all of us.
And I think that's very true. When we reach that level of thinking as individuals, not just as a collective group of people in a society, when we realize that mental health is a me thing before it becomes an us thing, it will really shape our perspective and help us actually understand what mental health is, and it will really improve. Because right now, the state of mental health in our country, it's one thing. Am I lying? I did a project, the free app. Do you remember when we were talking about, which we were talking about earlier in the year? The research was astounding. Like, our mental health, like the facilities and the support, it's really one thing. And at this juncture, I'd just like to ask you, what do we need to know about mental health, and what do we need to do to improve our mental health? I know, first of all, you've said self-awareness, and I think that's just like the first step to this thing. What else do we need to do? Because us improving our mental health as a country, we need to start with ourselves as individuals. So first of all, what do we need to do?
So the first thing is to understand what really mental health is. Mental health is let's just try and break it down so that everyone can really understand everything concerning how you think, feel, and act. How you think, feel, and act. How you live with people. How you think about life. How you think about yourself. How you see things. You know, it's everything. It's just like self-awareness somehow.
Yeah,
but I've just tried to really explain what it really is. It's a whole big theme, but there's also this misconception that when you talk about mental health, you're talking about depression only. No, mental health is also about just keeping yourself healthy, your brain, your mind is healthy all the time, ensuring that you're having also. Not really positive, but thoughts that are thriving, are enabling you to thrive. So what needs to be done is to really first understand what mental health is. There is so much stigma that is attached to mental health, and I think where we are right now in our country, we are so much ahead with really understanding this. Awareness has really been like the epitome of everything. The government has also been able to create a document using the task
task force
force to,
report.
yes, that has enabled us to really understand where we are, which is really good. It's a very huge step. Considering what is happening in our country, in the continent and in the world, yes, the statistics are there. We have so many people who are suffering, yes, but that is the first thing. Second, we also need to be at a space where we understand ourselves. And this is personal responsibility. In as much as it is also personal responsibility, we can help each other. That is why we need each other. That's why our fingers have gaps in between them for us to hold each other's hands. We need to understand who we are. As Phyllis, who am I? What do I like? What don't I like? Why am I like this? Why do I behave like this? Is it that something happened when I was little and I've never healed from it? What traumas am I having? Did someone pass on in my life and I have never healed from it? How do I perceive life? Those simple, simple questions, because they help us see, we are able to actually gauge ourselves and actually know where we are. Because we normally say, I cannot see life the way you see life. How I view life through my eyes is not the way you see life, because we all have experiences. And number three is we really need to emphasize the aspect of having like self love programs and coping mechanisms in schools and many other places. I think we are taught so many things on this planet. We are taught about science, we are taught about math, we are taught about biology. But rarely are we taught about life skills. And if it happens, I remember when I was in school, when a lesson came in, a teacher used to come in saying, we'll just move that for tomorrow. So mathematics is better than life skills. Then when you come out here, you're so good in math, but when you go for an interview and you ace it, you yourself know that you aced it, but you get a hit later, you cannot cope with the rejection bit because you are not taught the life skills. So we need to really address these issues, teaching self-love, the aspects of how to deal with rejection, how to deal with people pleasing. People are actually out here not able to even come out of the house because they don't even feel like they're good enough. So can't even take an interview because they feel like, I don't even think I can be able to, because the number of rejections I've received is so, so bad. People are out here addicted with pornography, masturbation, and so many things that they can't even really understand where they are right now. But we don't talk about these things because probably it's not good. It's not good, it's bad. So those are the three things I think we really need to really focus on right now.
And lastly,
For the services that are there, I think the government is also putting in place. I can say the government has really put in effort. Some institutions that are really offering the services, you can go on net and actually get them. I can say maybe the services are not like 100%, but they're somewhere. When you actually look at how African the countries are, how they're actually managing with mental health, or rather even the other places in the world, I think Kenya is ahead, in as much as there's so many cases of depression and stuff. So I think what we just need to do is identify, maybe just get to, now if it's lowering the prices of medicines, why is it that the medicines are expensive? Why can't they be affordable? Why are they not accessible? The number of doctors, are they really accessible? Are they affordable? Are they effective? Are the quality, are the services of quality? Those are the little things that really need to be looked into.
That's very true. I couldn't agree more with you, in the sense that, number one, for self-awareness to actually be, for us to be self-aware, we first need to be honest with ourselves and actually accept who we are. Not this idea of who we want to be or who we dream of in our heads and fantasize about day and night, but who we actually are from that point of view. And also, as designers, we are in the business of solving problems. So if we have problems of our own, we need to first solve those problems first before we
Mm-hmm.
go ahead and help other people solve their own problems. And I think us as designers, I can talk about that from my perspective in the sense that we are burdened so much, we don't really talk about it. This mental health topic, we don't really talk about it in our places of work. We don't really talk about it. And I guess that's why we are actually doing this episode, in the hopes that it might open up a conversation about mental health as Kenyan designers. So first of all, you mentioned something about rejection. Those rejection letters can just get you down. So how do you deal with rejection? Because you might have the talent, you might have the skill, but those rejection letters won't stop coming. So how should I deal with it from your perspective and from your eye?
A very good question. A very, very good question. One thing we really need to put in mind is that there are so many rejections in this life.
Yeah.
You also reject things to say yes to other things. Like probably tennis, you're having a friend telling you, "Oh, Tiffany, can we like have lunch today at around 2? And you're like, "No, I can't right now because I can't today because I'm having a class at 2 p.m. That's rejection. That's a no. That's a no. So in as much as the person was really willing to offer you lunch, that person won't be smiling. Like, yeah, no to me. No, the person is feeling bad. That's a no. A no is a reject. It's a reject.
Yeah.
So it's something very painful, very, very painful, especially when you know you have aced everything. You have done your research. You are confident. You did this and that. So the first thing I'll just say is life is full of rejection. And life is hard. If anyone comes to you and tells you that life is easy, is a liar. A liar. Life is not easy. Life is full of toughness. Like there's so many tough situations that you have to go through. Hard moments that you can ask yourself if you're actually on earth or suffering. Sometimes it's really like you sit down and ask yourself so many questions, but the truth is life is hard, and you come and have this reject every single time. So how would you, that's the first thing, being aware that life, you get reject every now and then. How do you go about with this? Number two, you also have to be very aware that any kind of rejection is not attached to your value. Like when someone says no to you, doesn't mean you're not good enough. Probably you need to improve on something, but that does not reduce who you are. It does not make you a loser. It doesn't make you a failure. It doesn't make you like someone, let's say 1,000 shillings cannot be reduced to 100, even when folded into and then unfolded. It does not change its value. That's the second thing. Your form, how people treat you, whether they accept you or reject you, does not, that kind of response is not attached to who you are. And third, you also need to really accept. Anytime you have gone through any reject, you have to accept it. Accepting means, I know I did my best. And if they did not see that, I am still okay with it. Meaning, you, in as much as it is painful, it will not really make you quit. You get?
Yeah,
means really saying yes to the hard things. It has happened, yes, but I'll still keep on going. And also putting yourself in a position that you're able to actually just fall back to, like, you know, it's like letting yourself fall. It's like accepting failure. You're not calling yourself a failure. You're accepting that fall. You know.
Yeah.
You cannot learn if you don't. You cannot stand if you don't fall. You cannot learn if you don't make mistakes. It's accepting. For me, I've learned how to accept failure, or rather mistakes, without calling myself a failure. Like, you'd go to an interview, rather an audition, or even just going there to pitch your idea, like, you know, I have this thing going on, and I do this, I do that. Then people just ghost you, and you're like, what?
Well, yeah, I was about to ask that. There's rejection, like the outright no, and there's this twilight zone. It's just twilight zone, like, there's a difference.
Normally painful, but and you like, and for me, I've faced so much rejection. In fact, I'm just like, okay, sour, basi. But as I was saying, rejection is rejection. Whether it comes out like it was just in plain black and white, or it was unexpected or expected, rejection is rejection. You really need to be aware that even if people say no to you, it doesn't mean that you are not good enough. What you just need to do is go back and see where you need to improve. Secondly, you don't have okay, I'll say this, and it's not, I'm not actually saying it in a bad intention. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you anything. So when someone rejects you, sometimes they come up with like, you mean I did all these this team, this organization will be not picking. Then you start hating them.
Yeah.
I tell you, you're hurting yourself. You are hurting yourself. What you need to do is let go. Imagine carrying all that burden and still having people on your shoulder. You'll actually not do justice to yourself. Since like nobody owes you anything, take that chance to really just come back and say, it's okay, I know life is difficult. It's difficult, I tell you, rejection, you even cry about it. Sometimes you even start hating yourself. But the fact remains, and my lecturer kept on saying this, and he's Dr. Nassim, and he kept on saying, opportunities are like buses. You miss one opportunity, another one comes. You know, it's not like that has just not, I cannot get another one.
Yeah.
And also having an abundance mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You can assess yourself. How do you see life? Do you see life through the eyes of a scarcity mentality? That if I don't get this thing, My I'm just doomed to say many things. No. You need to have an abundance mentality that even when rejection comes, you're like, it's okay, no, I'm going to get something else. Something else will come. Your value is not attached to things. And the fact that nobody owes you anything, you come and see, wow, and yeah, life is hard, but in as much as that opportunity has just passed me by, I know I need to also look to on the other side and see what I can improve. And I rather even see how I can just move forward
and actually exceed, right?
Yes, because the point is to move forward, to move ahead. It's not easy, and I really advise, if you're not able to go through rejection phases, please get someone who you can be opening up to. Speak to that person and tell that person how it feels, how that kind of reject has made you feel. For me, I talk to my friends, or even my mom, I tell them about a kind of rejection I went through, and it gives me some ease. And then someone tells you, no, it's okay. People are not justified to give you something. I tell you, Tiffany, mm-hmm. you can be the best person on that list, but you might fail to get it because nobody owes you anything. Nobody cares whether you are the best of the best. At the end of the day, you might get it or not. So how will you deal with it? So if you can't deal with it, look for someone you can open up to. You can also try to really go back and just find try and find yourself. Because death is about acceptance too, yes.
Definitely. And this is a topic we can't really stop talking about because it's lengthy, right? But for now, we can move on to something else that we face from day to day, and that's imposter syndrome. The feeling that you don't, the feeling of you not being enough, yet you are. I can talk about this from a personal perspective. as you've known, like, I've been looking for a job, right? And someone DM'd me on an opportunity, which is way above my skill set, if I can say that. And I was overwhelmed. Despite the fact that I have the skills, I felt like I wasn't enough in that regard. So talk to me. How do you, I'll not say deal with this, but how do you navigate? Because this feeling of not being enough, you can't just deal with it and it go away. It will never go away because you're progressing, not just in your career, but also in your life, in other facets of your life. You're progressing and you may feel like you're not worthy of that opportunity. You're not worthy of that partner. You're not worthy of that house or whatever. And how do you navigate such that inbuilt fear? If I can say that, how do you navigate it?
So it's the first thing is, yes, life is hard, so you realize that some instances come in, you've gone through so many hard instances in your life that even make you question whether you're worth the things that you have. Even the position, the title, the awards, the kind of recognition, someone comes and tells you, oh, you're so good at this, and you're like, ah, actually, I'm just trying.
Yeah.
Or rather, someone comes and says, oh, you're really good at this thing. Instead of just saying thank you, you're like, oh, you know, I just got it there. It was not even expensive.
It was luck. It was luck.
Fit. I mean, my heart is, you know, it doesn't work like that. What I can say is the first thing is we really need to understand our worth. And I will also repeat, our worth is not attached to any material thing. What's your self-worth? How is your self-esteem? And that's what I'm actually saying. These things really need to be taught in school. Our parents, our grandparents, our teachers, they did their best when we were in school. Now it's for us to actually know more if we should. So are you doing this for yourself? I think it gets to a time where you really need to know your needs and really put yourself as a priority, meaning that whatever you're also offering to other people, like the care, the love, the reassurance, the security, that you also need to do the same for yourself.
For yourself.
So, yeah, so the thing is, questions like, am I worthy of love? The first question, am I really worthy of love?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm worthy of love. Are you worthy of care? Yes, I'm worthy of care. Are you worthy of protection? Yes, I'm worthy of protection. Are you worthy? Am I worthy of even trying things or new having new opportunities and stuff? Yes, you're worthy. So how do we lose this worthiness? Because probably when you were small, you tried answering a question in class and then it was wrong, and then the teacher maybe said, oh, that is so wrong. Your fellow students or other people laughed at you. Since then, you realize, instead of branding yourself, I am not good enough at questions, I'm not good in math, I'm not good in this, that you even carried till now, that even when you're asked for an opinion, you're like, I don't think it's good enough, I'm okay. I think whatever you just discussed should be good with me. My friend, your opinion also really matters. There's a time you are trusting someone, when you were little, and then that friend of yours abandoned you. Nowadays, you really cannot trust anyone, rather feel like you're not worth being loved because you feel like people will go away. So many things. So the first thing I just say is really do inner work practice. Inner work means you really need to sit down. And this is normally a process. I can't really speak much about it because it's a whole process. Really try and really know who you are. Back to really knowing who you are,
self-awareness.
You really need to know who you are, and what does that mean? How are you feeling, and why are you feeling like this? Why do you normally get so agitated so fast? why are you really not having an easy time trusting people? Or rather, why are you also feeling like you're not good enough applying for that opportunity? Because you're going to get rejected. Why? Is it that you, someone says, hey, you know, I don't even think you'll ever achieve anything in your career. It could be your friend who just mentioned it, your parent, your sister, your brother, your sibling, your relative. Someone just insulted you and you took it in, it became your belief system. You know, we have so many belief systems about ourselves, and we normally tell people to bless you. We bless people, oh, because bless you. And may he bless you, bless the work of your hands. But we don't even tell ourselves the same. For us, we're like, even when someone says, God bless you, like, oh, amen.
Amen. But checked, like, you cannot proclaim the same blessings on yourself.
You're not really, like, your belief system is tampered with. So that's the first thing. Really look into what your belief systems are. What do you believe about yourself? And why is it that way? Why? Where did it all start? Where did it all begin? And can you just go back and find out there's so many methods of doing that. We normally pick that at a Swahili. So it's like you can also get these things online. There are some articles you can read, like the Lona Wolf website. You can get information from there. Hay House, they normally have content about knowing yourself. You can really just go back and really track these things, and they really help. Because what is self-love? Self-love is all about getting to a space where you accept yourself wholesomely, the good, the bad, the everything about you. And secondly, you're able to forgive yourself.
Definitely,
why are you forgiving others if you can't forgive yourself? You need to forgive yourself. As you're forgiving other people, forgive yourself too for the mistakes. And number three, you're able to respect your needs and your desires and actually show compassion towards yourself. So that means looking into your belief system and actually getting through it. And I'll repeat this, you are worthy. You are worthy. Get that strength and go back and see where it all started and heal. Heal from it. Because if you do not heal from it, it's so easy to project it to other people. And that's why I normally say, the people you surround yourself with reflect who you are in the inside. If you're having people who always compliment you all the time, you want them to always tell you, oh, you're doing good, it means you cannot live without any approval. That day when that person fails to tell you something, it means you're not going to have a good day, and that is not healthy.
Because
you need to be good even when you're not told you're good. That is actually worth. You know you're worth. That's what I'm saying. You really need to know what is internal. It all starts from internal work, inner work.
Definitely. And something else you've been talking about, inner work, knowing who you are and wanting the best for yourself and vouching for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The things we go through, the certain things we are fighting against, if I can say we're battling, things like negative habits, things like
mm-hmm.
jealousy, being anxious, and also work-life balance. You know, us as designers, to be honest, once we just step on that pedal, we push until we just reach that point of it's no more.
Mm-hmm.
And finding that balance is really hard because our work is really demanding. So let's start with, first of all, that balance. How do we achieve that balance so that we can talk of other negative habits we need to address, like jealousy and anxiety? Anxiety
so
is actually a bad habit, but it's something definitely go through, right?
It is.
Yeah.
I can say that I have also gone through the same when I was actually trying to really understand why I'm going through all these things. Trying to really understand why am I even comparing myself with people, and why is it a thing? Why is it like I have to wake up in the morning and look at what other people are doing? I'm like, oh, why am I not there? It becomes a thing. It's life. It's actually that's why we are human beings. We're not angels. So the first thing I'm trying to find a balance is becoming first aware of who you are, the first thing. Being aware of who you are, like, what are your needs? What are your needs? Your needs are what, there's a difference between needs and wants, of course. A need is something you can't, like, you can't live without. That's basic needs.
Yeah.
Food, shelter, clothing.
Yeah.
So that gives you a responsibility of being your own advocate, advocating for your needs. So this is where you draw the line. You come up with a habit of saying no when you don't want to do something. If you feel like whatever task you're going to get yourself into is going to interfere with your needs, you're able to say no, and that means you're having a boundary. You're not people pleasing. People pleasing is actually like an emotional mask. So you just say yes to so many things so that you cannot say no to a client.
A client
is a human being just like you. And you can say no and still say yes to tomorrow. You know, like, I cannot do this right now because I'm swamped. Or rather, I have, there's something that I'm working on, but I can do it tomorrow. Is it fine with you? Because what is the point of going through all that, hurting yourself, your body, and your health to get what you're working for, only to take it to actually use it to treat yourself? What is the point? Imagine working too hard, getting that 1,000 to use half of the amount to buy painkillers because you slept the entire night thinking about this thing, and at the end of the day, half of it will go to your health because you neglected your health at that time when you were doing it. What I normally say is, whatever you are in, it's supposed to help you thrive mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and socially. So the kind of work that you're getting into, whatever task or project you're getting into, should help you in all those sections. That even when you have the money and everything has come in, you're moving to now to the next level. So learning to say no, and also being very bold. Do you believe in your work? Do you believe that your work is something that is of quality and stuff? If yes, if this client comes in and says, oh, I think that is, you can negotiate. It's very true. But even trying to really understand yourself can make you try to work on the projects that are going to actually affect you health-wise. So that's the first. Know your needs. That is, I think I cannot overwork myself because I need time to rest. I need time to eat. Let me tell you, your body is not a machine. You have no other body apart from the body you have, and I cannot lend you my body. Whatever body you have is yours. I cannot tell you, oh, Tiffany, say, just give you my body, use it today, more I'll come for it. Where on earth have you ever heard of such a thing?
No.
I can't even give you, like, I'm giving it now, and let me just give you my fingers, you return them tomorrow. It cannot happen.
Yeah.
You know what? Your health comes first. If you feel like that kind of task is overburdening you, please find a way to actually get it done and still have your health in place. Because akuna haja, you get all the money, and then at the end of the day, your health is not there. All your money is there.
Yeah. Health is wealth, they say.
Mm.
And also something else. Fear. Fear.
Mm.
Fear. Fear is something that holds us back from achieving what could have been something that has never been achieved.
Mm-hmm.
How do we deal with fear? Because fear, on the other side of fear, is greatness.
Mm.
On the other side of fear is what we've actually been putting in our blood, sweat, and tears on the other side of fear. So how do we deal with fear?
Fear is normal. It's a normal thing for us because it's supposed to, like, protect. It's like an emotion that protects you from danger. That is where you just can't get into maybe a moving car, you're just walking past it and come out. Nothing. You fear being hit, because when you hit something else, fear is like an adrenaline to keep you out of danger, but at the same time, it can actually make you not do what you really want to do. So it's something that is normal. That's the first thing. It's normal to be fearful. But then you can get to a space where you even fear the unknown that you can't even achieve. You can't even take, you cannot wake up in the morning and go after what you've always desired to do. So you can try that's also getting to be aware of yourself, how you started being fearful. You can write a list of what the things you're fearful about. Are you fearing fail? And what are the things that you fear? Are you fearing being told that this thing is not good enough? Are you fearing rejection? Are you fearing not completing a task? Because when you start, you never finish.
Yeah.
Are you fearing that if you start procrastinating? I'd rather not do this project because I know every time I just start and something comes up, I let it go. Are you fearing the outcome? There are people who fear greatness, that when something comes out so good, they are like, I can't even believe this has happened. It has come out for me. They won't even do something. They'll be scared of it forever.
Forever.
It's like you're fearing, it's like you have a power inside, and you're just fearing yourself. I think this power will just come and destroy me one day. It can't destroy you. You have it because it's a gift. So that's, and okay, have a list of all these fears and try to address them, each one of them, by really trying to track where it all began. Where did it come up? When did I ever start fearing failure? Probably when you did not get that mark in primary school, then you went home and your father or your mother told you, hey, I feel like this thing we did not manage. No, since then we started having this thought of, I really need to be number one. And when you fail to be number one, you're a failure. So ever since you've been fearing to fail, that you are always an overachiever. You're like, yeah, I must achieve, I must get all these titles. Then it ends up draining you down. So how to deal with it, number two, is to really understand that it's normal to have fear. And the thing is, taking one day at a time, meaning you can't do everything in a day. You know, there's this kind of fear like, I need to achieve this so I can do all these things in one day and get it. And you know, that actually brings out the anxiety. You start beating so fast. You can't, you only have 24 hours. 24 hours is a struggle.
Yeah.
24.
24. And these days, they just seem to just pass us by.
Can you imagine 24 shillings? What can 24 shillings buy for you? Labda, smoky, the one. So 20 just shillings and the 4 shillings to maybe buy something like a chewing gum. It is not much. So
yeah.
Try and really break down. But have a plan. It's not really like a to-do list. But have those broken down things that you really are really, really a priority. I really advocate for this book. It's called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That really helps you understand some habits that you can really work on. And number one is actually I don't know what number it is. I'm just giving as far as the ones that are coming in your mind. Putting first things first. Sometimes we fear the future and we end up getting to that future having not done anything because we even feared the activities themselves. So really try and understand, what are my priorities right now? I need to get this project done. So how will I start getting this project done? Waking up at this time, eating breakfast at this time, ensuring my phone is at this, like I'm able to look into my work at this time. Ensuring that you've broken down those big tasks, to small tasks that are doable, to make them be comfortable for you to dive in. That's actually taking one step at a time. And lastly, it's also understanding that, you know what, everybody is fearful. I also have fear. Hey, sometimes you wake up and you're like, hey,
Yeah.
Like, what will happen? What will happen when things don't work out? But we do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we are all striving to get somewhere.
Yeah,
So when you
definitely.
actually have a goal, you're able to really walk one step at a time. And as I conclude on that, take one step at a time, break down your activities and try to really understand from that list of your fears, how did it all begin and how can you solve them? If you need someone to really, a trusted person, a person you trust, or rather a professional who can guide you through it. There are so many out here. They can really help you through that. It really helps.
Definitely. And as we come to the end of this lovely episode, what are your final thoughts on this issue? And what can we do? What is your one piece of advice you'd leave us as designers? Because we are in the business of solving problems, making people's lives better. And we acknowledge the fact that mental health is, it's the heart, it's the core of who we are and how we interpret these problems and how we view life and how we pump out solutions. So any last words for us?
I'll emphasize on taking care of yourself and really trying to be a friend to someone who is going through a hard time. Meaning that there are so many people who are going to run. And it would be good for the reason you want.
Hello, you're breaking?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're better. You're better.
So I'm saying, number one is trying to, let's first start with self-love. You really need to love yourself. You really need to love yourself. And you really need to offer the things you offer to others, you also need to offer them to yourself. The kind of advice of love, appreciation you do to you give out, you also need to give them back to yourself. Bless yourself. Spend time with yourself. Create time and eat. If it's lunchtime, put your phone away and your work away from you and go and eat. Your body needs food. It does not eat words. Like it does not get food from the air. We don't eat through our eyes, we eat through our mouth. You need to put food in that mouth and eat. Because our bodies are made of flesh. And our flesh have cells. So feed your body with food, fruits, and also water. Give yourself time to sleep. Rest. Take time and sleep. Sleep is very important for your mental health and your well-being. Also ensure that you also, like spending time with people, like right now we have COVID, yes, you can just meet up even on Zoom or rather WhatsApp or whatever virtually, but have people you can open up to, that social life, it's very important. No one, we are not born, like we're not here to just enjoy life alone. And then at the same time, be a helping hand to those who are struggling or rather, not really struggling, they're going through the pain. Struggling is such a, not a good time. It's really heavy.
Yeah.
So if you find someone who is really going through a hard time, maybe through depression, and you can know someone you can refer him or her to, please do so. Treat the other person the way you'd want to be treated. If you find your friend is having a hard time, the person is like trying to be away from other people, the person just wants to be alone, the person just does not want to be part of anything, you can work with that person till recovery. And with that, I think we'll just have another time, we'll talk about how you can help someone who's going through depression and suicidal thoughts and stuff. But all in all, let's be the change we always want to see. If you find someone in need, help that person. And lastly, we need to also have an understanding of these four things. Your social life, please look into your social life. Do you have friends who really support you whenever you are in an emergency? Are they available for you? Number two, spirituality. Do you really understand that you cannot be omnipresent omnipresent. I think there's also omnipotent. I don't know.
Yeah, omniscient.
Omniscient. You cannot be that because you're a human being. You cannot be in Lambda through technology, through Zoom, you're logged in so many things, but you cannot be in, like, you cannot be physically present in 10 areas in 1 minute. It's so impossible. So say, learn to say no, because you're a human being and you cannot take control of everything. Also seek for wisdom from your spiritual being, whoever you believe in, to a point that you really are at a space where you are able to control the things you can control and let go of the things you cannot, because they are beyond your power. Number three, your physical health. Talked about eating, sleeping, doing all those things. They really matter. They really matter. Your mental health really matters too. So ensure that if you're feeling overwhelmed mentally, you're having headaches, you're having insomnia and stuff, take breaks. Like, you know, just take breaks. 1 hour break and go away and just do something. Take a walk and come back. Yes, please take care of yourself and love yourself. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for this wisdom just dripping onto our earlobes. We are so grateful for having you. And this, you don't be a stranger. You are now part of us, and we'll communicate from time to time so that you can continue giving us this wisdom, and that we may be able to help each other and upgrade ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's the end of this episode. So I shall see you in the next one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, can I just say something? So
yeah.
I think I need to clarify something too.
Yeah.
I know,
of course. Okay.
That statement of nobody owes you anything. Please do not check me out. I disagree. No. They say man of buyer, but it is the truth. Because it actually gives us that mentality that we need to actually move, like it's upon us to get things for ourselves, like outer power. You have to work for it, you know.
Yeah.
I really need to clarify that.
You can't expect maize to grow on your farm and yet you haven't bought the seeds, you haven't planted the seeds, you haven't cultivated the land, and you're expecting for rain to fall and maize to come up. It's from that regard, I do agree with you. You have to put in something for you to actually see the fruits of it. Nobody owes you.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.